All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, there are some things that God's forgiveness will not do. In Psalms 32 and verse 1, a very familiar passage, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." We know that the forgiveness of sin is something that we can have that's only available to us from God through his Son, Jesus Christ. In Psalms chapter 103, in verse 10, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." And certainly, we ought to be thankful and glad for that. And yet we know that it's in Proverbs 13 and verse 15 that says that the way of the transgressor is hard. So there are some things that we need to understand about God's forgiveness. And maybe sometimes the best way to understand something is to understand what it is not. So what are some things that God's forgiveness will not do? Well, first of all, it will not guarantee that others will forgive us. We see a good example of this in a very familiar parable that Jesus spoke of concerning the prodigal son. We're familiar with the first part of the parable, no doubt, but I'd like for us to look at Luke 15 and begin reading with verse 25. "Now his oldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, and who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you've killed a fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" See, the father had forgiven the prodigal son, but the brother of the prodigal was not willing to forgive him. So yes, just because God gives you forgiveness, that's no guarantee that others will forgive you. Another thing that God's forgiveness will not do is that it does not give us a license to continue in sin. This we read about in Romans chapter 6. Notice with me verse 1. Read in verse 1 and 2. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" And dropping down to verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." Yes, we get forgiveness of sin, through God, providing that forgiveness in His Son. But one thing that God's forgiveness does not do is it does not give us a license to just continue on to sin. Another thing that God's forgiveness won't do, it doesn't release us from the duty of making correction wherever it's possible. We see this in Luke chapter 19. In Luke 19, verse 8, "Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.'" So here's a man that we're familiar with in the Bible, a little man named Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, and they had a reputation. That reputation, of course, was not true of all of them, but it was true enough of many of them that it was a reputation that automatically was pinned on a person who was a tax collector. But Zacchaeus, being in that profession, says to the Lord that not only does he give half of his goods to the poor, so definitely he's not one of those typical tax collectors. But notice he says that if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. You see, what this means is, and what this is showing is, that when and if we do wrong unto others, we need to be doing everything within our power to make that wrong right with them. Also, we see an example of this in Acts, the 16th chapter. Notice what we read in verse 23 and verse 24. "And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were singing and praying to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all of the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul said with a loud voice, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' And they spake the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house." Now notice verse 33. "He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all of his family were baptized." Here's a man that, in whether directly or indirectly, was responsible for the stripes that Paul and Silas had been inflicted with. Now we see repentance on his part. And that repentance is requiring of him to wash those stripes that have been inflicted. Again, some things that God's forgiveness will not do is that it doesn't release us from the duty of making correction whenever that's possible. Another thing that God's forgiveness will not do, it doesn't release us from the temporal consequences of our sin. We know that in the example of Jacob and Esau, who were two brothers, and yet there was a great deal of enmity and animosity between them. And yet we find that even though that Esau was blessed by Isaac, although he did not receive the blessing, yet it did not release them from the consequences of their actions toward one another. We also see in the book of Proverbs, notice with me in chapter 6, and let's look at begin reading in verse 26. "For by means of a harlot a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be sealed? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife, who touches her, shall not be innocent. So we see then that sin is committed, but that does not remove, although God removes the guilt of that sin, it does not remove any consequences that we might have to suffer down the road as a result of that sin. Also, we see how that the forgiveness of God will not release us from the temporal consequences of sin in the example of David and Bathsheba. It's in 2 Samuel that we read in chapter 12 where that Nathan had came to David and had rebuked him for the sin. And then we find that Nathan goes on in verse 9 of 2 Samuel chapter 12 and made these statements. He said, "Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the son." David sinned, but David asked for forgiveness. In fact, we see that in verse 13. David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die." So see, God forgave David for what he did, for the sins that he committed. But David still had to live with the consequences of his sin. Yes, God gives forgiveness. God removes the guilt of our sins. But these sins that we commit may very well carry with them consequences. And that's what we see in the case of David. Another thing that God's forgiveness will not do is it won't restore your reputation. You remember in Acts 13 and verse 13 when Paul and Silas were on their first, Paul and Barnabas, I'm sorry, were on their first missionary journey. They had with them a man by the name of John Mark. And it's in verse 13 that for reasons we are not given, Mark departs and leaves and returns back to where he came from. It's in chapter 15, as Paul and Barnabas are about to start the second missionary journey, that we read in verses 36 through 41, there is a contention that arose between Paul and Barnabas, because Barnabas is still wanting to let John Mark accompany them on the second missionary journey. But because of what John Mark had did in the first journey, Paul was not at all in favor of John going. So there was a dispute that arose between Barnabas and Paul. They settled the dispute, or at least they resolved the matter at the moment, by Paul taking with him Silas and Barnabas taking with him John Mark, and they go different directions. But then later in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11, we see that obviously things are well between Paul and John Mark, because he commends Mark in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 12. See, God may grant us forgiveness, but if we've done things that has caused our reputation to be lost in the things that we do, it may be that we cannot restore our reputation, because that's one thing that God's forgiveness does not do. Yes, as we read to begin our study in Proverbs 13 and verse 15, the way of the transgressor is hard. There are things that God's forgiveness will do, and the greatest thing is to forgive us of our sins, to remove the guilt of sin from our souls. But there are things that we need to be aware of that God's forgiveness will not do. We see your time is gone. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.